Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Kate DiCamillo, your 2016 Summer Reading Champion. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 263 of the podcast with Kate DiCamillo, author most recently of Ramey Nightingale, and most relevant to this conversation, the 2016 National Summer Reading Champion. After a brief time away, Kate makes her return to the podcast on behalf of the Collaborative Summer Library Program. The CSLP has created lots of great resources for helping connect kids and parents with their local libraries and summer reading programs. Many of those materials are linked in the show notes to this episode, located at allthewonders.com. But above all, as you and your readers prepare for summer, plan out trips to your local library, and size up your to-be-read pile, know that you have one heck of a cheering squad behind you in the form of Kate DiCamillo. Enjoy the listen, and happy summer reading! Here's episode number 263 of the podcast with Kate DiCamillo. Welcome back to the podcast, Kate. I missed you. It's been a brief time, but I'm glad you're back.
What has it been? A month and a half? I missed you too. I've been having conversations with you in my head. But now we get to talk about something that we both love.
Yes, and this is the time too, because in as my school library time is winding down, we are gearing up for summer reading. And you have been named the 2016 National Summer Reading Champion. How cool.
Well, it's just, I said to somebody the other day, it's like the happiest possible fit for me because I'm the kind of person who is always making other people read books in the best possible way, of course. And I love libraries and I know that you've got questions that you're probably going to lead me through and I'll do my best to answer them. But I want kids to have what I had at the library, which was that feeling of safety and possibility.
So on the site, you mentioned growing up in Florida and going to the Cooper Memorial Library. And I wondered actually first if that library is still there, because I know you're back in Florida often. Well, I know you're there, but is it still there?
My best friend still lives there. Yeah. That library, actually, the funny thing is that the library itself still exists, but the building that I went to as a child is now in a little historical village of Claremont, Florida, because that was just, it was kind of like the library and because of Winn-Dixie, the Herman W. Block, it was just an old house filled with books. And so that library, the actual building exists in that historical village, but the library itself is in a much newer facility. I can still close my eyes and walk through that library, and I dream about that library, and that wonder, and that feeling of, because for me it was also being seen, because the librarians saw me very clearly as somebody who was a reader, and then kind of like got out of my way, you know, like whatever
yes.
you want, and that thing too is what I want for kids. I don't expect every kid to have the same passion that I did, but I know that if they go to their public library, I can guarantee they're going to get seen by the librarians for who they are and what they think they can become.
I am so grateful, Kate, for the people in your life and the influence they had on you, the way that they shaped you to be this person that you are. It makes me so happy. To know that these librarians treated you, and I'm positive every single kid and adult and every aged person that walked in that library, with the same amount of love and respect, but to know that it became a place for you that you read and that you found your identity in reading.
Right. I knew who I was. I knew who I was. And I think that can be the case for a lot of kids. And it's funny, because if I'm in front of a room full of kids, and or an auditorium full or a gymnasium full, and I say, how many of you know where your public library is? An astonishing number of them raise their hands. And then how many of you know that your summer, your library has a summer reading program? And they know. So
good.
It's just a matter of getting them there.
I agree with that. We have, our library for my school is just around the corner. It's maybe a mile. It's really not far. But I had, even just today, we have the summer, for our summer reading kickoff, which will happen next week, we have the public librarians come in and book talk to the children, to all the different grades. And we have a great connection that they see the public librarians in our school all the time. But I had a child today say to me, when I said, well, we're getting ready to close down our library, but you know, you can get all these great books at our branch. She said, I don't know where our library is. And I said, oh, well, it's right down the street. I'm sure mom and dad know. No, they don't know where it is either. And it struck me that, as you're saying, there are these kids that they know about the library, but still being able to get there.
Right.
It's hard. Well, I mean, there's barriers. I mean, at the other school where I was, there was, to get to the public library from where we were, which was, if I suppose if they drove, it'd be maybe five miles, but they didn't have cars, so they would have to take a taxi to get there, or the transportation system in the county. But to get there, I had heard from one of our ESOL liaisons that it would take them 90 minutes to get to the library. From five miles away. Oh my goodness.
Oh no. And it's so, and what do we do with that?
Yeah.
When we talk about, okay, where is it? Do you know where it is? And then do you have a way to get there? And I mean, so we have this thing that we want to give kids. It has to be a community effort. Sometimes, you know, I've talked about this before, but I was lucky enough, that it was very much on my mother's radar. And, but a lot of times in the summertime when she took me, she also took, a station wagon full of neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
So, and that's like, let's remember that too. If you're taking your kid to the library, take somebody else's kids to the library too.
Bring friends. I like that. Build those memories around
Bring
books.
Bring friends. That's a great theme. I'm going to write it down, actually.
Ooh. Yeah. What if next year, this year's theme, I know, because we see it everywhere too, is on your mark, get set, read. But imagine next year, just bring friends.
Friends. Yeah. I'm writing it down. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think about how great the connections are over books, and the way that it continues, that children find friends, find understanding one another through these different experiences that are in books, and knowing that the summer library programs have, I mean, a lot of it, we have prizes that they give away, and they sort of gamify it. There's a card that you get stamps on and do different activities. But ultimately what you always end up hearing is, oh yeah, I accomplished the goals to get the prizes in the first week. And then I just read, 100 more books the rest of the summer.
Right. Right. And it's, and you know, for me, it was just like, you can give me a prize, but this is exactly where I want to be and exactly what I want to be doing. But it's great. You know, prizes are a fun thing to talk about. It's yeah. it's a fun way to get people in there. And the other thing that we want to say is freedom, you know, because no one is going to tell you what to read. And so this is, it's like there are no assigned texts for summer reading. This is about you reading and reading for yourself and loving what you read.
I even love when in the way they gamify, some of the quote unquote assigned things that they do just for fun, the suggestions are always, at least in our library, so silly that it's read a book with a green cover. I love that because that's, as a librarian, I always get that. Kids come into me and they're like, I want the book with the green cover. I think it has a worm on it. I love that. So now we're actually twisting it and making it, no, look for one like that.
Right. Well, and you know, and as a bookseller, that was always our favorite question. I'm looking for a red book and it's small. And then, like, you know, you would actually find the very red small book that they were talking about. And it was like out of 10,000 red small books. And they would go, yeah, that's it. And it's like, wait a minute. Do you realize the miraculous thing just happened? It's like we put one of 10 million red small books in your hand. So you're right. It's nice to turn it around.
I was going back to the different resources that are on there, on that CSLP site for why read and just the urge of just get out, go to your public library, see what they have going on, get some books. And you created this. I know you know I'm guiding you through some things because I got to explore this site and loved it. You created your top 10 reasons to participate in your local library summer reading program.
I think I put air conditioning on.
You did. I was just going to say, thank you for just owning that. We taught in library school when you're preparing to go into the field and you're talking about what libraries mean to people. One of the things is, hey, you know what? Sometimes a library is the place that they can go just to escape the heat or just to, as you, one of your things is like, there it is. Number four, I'm reading it now. A library is a good place to hide.
Right.
But it's a truth. That's a thing. And so I think on both sides, when librarians can see that one of the enticing reasons to get into the library, you get them in the door and then you put a book in their hands, but get them in the door. I think it's great.
Get them in the door. It's another great phrase. I'm going to write it down. Get them in the door.
You've got some great ideas. I feel like I read this list and it probably took you all of 5 minutes just to spout out. Wait, no, Kate, we only need 10. 10 reasons is all we can fit on one sheet.
With Tracy and I did that. We were in St. Louis and it was just like, oh, this is easy. I could go on and on. She's like, that's good.
I think that, I was going to ask, never mind. Let me put what I was going to say on hold and just ask you, in your opportunity to go around and see all these different schools and libraries, well, now that you're going on tour doing this, I'm sure you've gotten to see a lot of different programs getting ready to kick off. Is that right?
I haven't really that much.
Not yet. We're too early.
I've been in school libraries. And it's like you said, school libraries are very much have it on their radar to talk about the public libraries, but I have not experienced the kickoff yet for summer. And when is school out? You've got like 2 weeks left?
A little different for everyone. We go till June 17. We're a little late.
Oh,
wow. We have
You've
snow
got a long
days
way to go.
We deal with, yeah.
Yeah. And you're, like you said, super lucky there that you have the public librarians coming in directly to the school. That's fantastic.
It doesn't always happen that way. We also, I'm blessed to have a really great reading team at my school that recognizes that we might not be able to get these kids out. So let's try to get the public library in and sign up for summer reading at our closing school events. We have a picnic that we do and things like that. But also we have a number of little free libraries around our community that we've helped establish and one at our school. We are establishing a sort of a bookmobile of sorts that we're collecting donations for now. And they're going to set up times over the summer to drive to different communities with these crates of books that we've gathered for kids to borrow. So where we can't get kids to get to the public library, we're sort of working hand in hand with the library and what it means to continue reading and be a reader over the summer and escape to books.
And you
Yeah.
know, and for you and for me and for the librarians of every stripe, school and public, it's just like this is something that we know, but just in listening to you talk about getting the bookmobile out and the little free libraries, it's just like it is such a privilege to put a book in someone's hands.
Oh, it's awesome.
It is just, it's like it is, it's the same as reading, you know, reading out loud in the classroom. It's
Yeah.
just like you're not just doing it for somebody. It changes the person who's sharing the story, and it changes the person to put the book in somebody's hands.
I
It's
need
very
to.
reciprocal kind of thing.
It is. I need to call you out on that for a second in a really beautiful way. Last time you were here, a week ago when you were here. No. No, last time you were here though, you caught me off guard in a really beautiful way, 'cause you wherever we were going in that conversation, you stop and ask me, what am I reading? And that meant a lot to me to be able to have that moment with you. And I shared with you, I'm reading The Wild Robot, Peter Brown's new novel, and it's so great.
And that's on my summer
And then you put it on your summer reading list. I'm so glad you got to read that, but it's so good, right?
it's so good. It's just a flat out edge of your seat story, but it's not a book that's done when you're finished with it. You keep on calling it up, and it asks a lot of questions, and it stays with you. And it's deeply, some of those illustrations are so haunting. I don't want to give anything away, but when Roz is standing in the tree when
Yeah.
the
With the
geese are flying
yes.
south, it's just like it's a wonder. So yeah,
The
thank you
different
very much.
Oh,
Thank
no.
good recommendation.
But it's that. It's what you're saying, that it means so much to me to know that you read it and now there's another person I can talk about it with. That another
Right.
person that can feel the way you do when you read it. That, oh, I had this great feeling. I can't wait for someone else to read it. And it's wonderful that you've had that. So then, I mean, you talk about the moment of Roz up in the tree. I loved that moment was repeated so many times in the story, that she ended up in the tree in the beginning of the book, that she got scared up a tree by bears, that she ended up saying goodbye in this tree. Like, there's so many moments that we return to different locations in this small island that I just feel like that it was just done so well with such beautiful intent.
And it's the perfect summer read. I can't imagine a kid not getting lost in that, you
Now, to
know?
read about robots and being outside. It's a
Right.
perfect blend. Come on, it's perfect.
And then, of course, there's just, you know, me as a writer going, shoot, I wish I'd
I love
thought
that. Yes.
that.
I wish
Yeah.
I thought about that. This is one of the best feelings.
It's just brilliant, you know. And then there's you've read Kwame Alexander's Booked,
Yes.
and you think, Kwame, how can you do that again?
Again, I was
Yes.
gonna say the same thing. How can lightning strike twice? And the reason why, have you met Kwame yet? Though
Yes.
obviously the reason why is that it's Kwame. The
Right,
way
right.
that man talks, he talks in poetry. It's beautiful.
It is so powerful, and the kind of thing that you want to chase people down the street and read it aloud
Yes. Oh,
to
you
them.
gotta read this one passage. You have to hear this.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's when you book talk a book and you don't tell the person about the book, you just open to a page and read to them.
and I remember the first time I read from Help Me, w that won the Newbery with Kwame.
To read about
Crossover, the
crossover, yeah.
crossover. Yeah, and Lisa von Drasik just put it in my hands on camera, and with the and we were recording an interview, and she's like, read this out loud, and it was like, oh, the euphoria and the challenge of that, and
Yes.
like, yeah, it's just and he does that again. Deeply moving book.
You've got both of those books appear, I should say, just to be clear to the people listening, both of them appear on your recommended reads for summer, which must have been tricky to narrow it down to, what is it, like
Oh,
10 books, 2, 4, 6, 8?
it's
Yeah.
impossible, but it's just
They did a nice job though. You ran from picture books up to to like YA. So it's nice that it really sort of spans a gamut of all the readers that might be in one household or that might visit a library. There are some great ones on there. Yeah.
And I got to get, you know, an old favorite, something that I didn't read when I was a kid, but that I read when I was just starting to write for kids.
You're kidding. You read The Great Gilly Hopkins as you were getting ready to write. What amazing influence to have Catherine Patterson's
right?
Woo.
Patterson, bless her heart. And that book is so, what's the word that I want? True. It's true. You get the feeling very much that Catherine Patterson is somebody that you can rely on to tell you the truth. Mm. And I remember where I was in the Bookman, that's the book distributor where I worked when I read that book. So I'm happy to get that on there. And I think there's going to be a movie too. So that's a,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good timing for that. That's fun.
Yeah, right. Do you want to give me a summertime read? Because my list is up there. So
oh,
why don't you,
girl.
Yeah, come on.
Okay,
I'm ready.
There's this book. You like a good cry. I know you do. We have this thing together. We like, it's good.
We have wept together.
Yeah. We have wept together. let me see the author. This is a book called Miss Bixby's Last Day. It's John David Anderson. That's his name. It's a middle name that always throws me. Miss Bixby's Last Day by John David Anderson. Have you had a chance to... it would have been an arc. It's not out yet. Okay, so this comes out next month. It's about... I'm going to tell you, you're going to cry on the recording. My word, I'm so sorry in advance. It's about three boys who adore their teacher, Miss Bixby. They love her. And Miss Bixby... is struggling with cancer, with a fight with cancer. And so these three boys decide we're going to throw a huge party for her. And the entire book takes place over one day. And
it's middle grade? Is it middle grade?
It's middle grade. And it changes voices. Each chapter changes voices between the three boys. And I was waiting to not like one of the, we're going to switch to a voice and I'm not going to be a fan of this one voice. But the book, as one of my friends, Blake, says it too, it just keeps getting better and better until you're just waiting to return to that other boy and the other one again. And it's beautiful. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's a book that I think everyone needs to read. Miss Bixby's Last Day.
When's the pub date?
It's the 21st of June.
Oh, okay. So in time for summer reading.
It's coming out. Yeah. It'll be out. It comes out from, I think it's Walden Pond. Yeah.
Yep.
And it will be adored and loved and people will really feel something. And I like those books too, that it's when children, I'm going to put it this way. I like these books when it's children act in surprising ways, but we read it and somehow we're not surprised that a kid would be that compassionate.
Right. All right.
I like that.
It's making me tear up even with your discussion of it. So good book talk.
Oh, you're going to love it. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
You'll love it.
Well, you didn't steer me wrong with Wild Robot.
Goodness, Wild Robot. That book is so good. Hey, you on your list. So I was drooling over your list because I was like, yes, another one. Yes, another one. And
oh,
you,
good,
you put.
I'm a professional. I'm just a reader, you know.
I'm just a reader, too. Hold on now.
I'm a reader who has more daily contact with kids,
okay.
You know. So you are the professional. And I'm just reading along happily.
You lead your list with a book that. Well, all books are special to the people writing them. I get that. But this is a very different book. You lead it with Ideas Are All Around by Phil Stead.
Yeah,
I talked
to
Phil and he talks on, I have a recording of the podcast where he talks about just not really being sure of how people would connect with it. And I ended up using that book to kick off a unit with my third graders of writing stories and where we get ideas and how we take those ideas sort of out of the ethos and try to hear them speak to us and become a story. And that book, to have this beautiful picture book where Phil goes for a walk and we see the things that he observes on the walk and then somehow talking to his neighbor, it just beautifully pulls everything back together.
It's not only, it makes me swoon, that book. But if I were teaching adults about writing, I would take that book into the classroom. You're saying it works with kids, but it's also, it's what's that phrase? When you write a poem about what it is to write about, ars poetica, it's a piece of art about how to make art.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it.
It's beautiful. You're right. I could see that that's a book when someone is saying, I want to write, or I'm an aspiring writer. I want to go write some children's books. I want to go do that, or whatever books they're writing. That is a beautiful piece of art to hand them and go, this is it. This is what ideas are.
And it's that thing that I always say too, that, you know, your job is to, where do ideas come from? Where do ideas come from? I mean, you get asked that by 6-year-olds and 60-year-olds. Everybody wants to know. And it's the world. It's staying open to the world. And this book captures that. So
it does. There's other great ones.
What
on
else
here.
Is on my list?
You've got, well, one that I just saw that Yuyi shared, made New York Times bestseller just this week, is Thunder Boy Jr., Sherman Alexie.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? The spunk in that boy. In Thunder Boy Jr.
To read that aloud to a group of kids, which I have not been able to do yet, but I will get the chance at some point. That must be a rollicking good time. And I was on a panel with Sherman at BookCon, which is, the thing for the public that follows BEA. And Sherman said something about how he had just visited a school and the day before, and he got like 1,000 hugs. He said, "Man, I'm not writing anything but picture books right now."
I was just gonna say,
it's like, I know, welcome to my world. It's just like, it's the best.
Oh, I'm not all the hugs. That's adorable. Well, he wrote, I mean, that's the evidence of such a versatile author to be able to write for the different audiences and engage that way. I think there are so many beautiful things that are shown about Sherman's culture in this book that it's one of those great books that's going to raise questions and will offer opportunities for exploration and for understanding other people in different ways. And my word, Yuyi Morales's art is goodness. It's beautiful.
I love her. I love her. She's, and that just, that art leaps off the page. It captures, the aliveness of Sherman's text. It's a wonderful pairing.
Yeah. The page where the boy, for those listening that haven't seen it yet, it's about a boy who is given the name Thunder Boy Jr. And he doesn't like his name because he's not even the only Thunder Boy.
His dad
is Thunder Boy Sr. He wants his own name, and he comes up with all these other names that he wishes that he was called. But in maybe just about the middle spread, there's just this gorgeous spread where he yells, "I hate my name," and just these almost balloons of color and illustration are above his head, and it's beautiful. It's a great book about for me, about identity and who we think we are, but also who the other people in our life think we are.
And figuring it, like you said, figuring out who we are and then claiming who we are.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Well, I there's so much more to read on your list, and there's so much else out there. I'm excited for other people to get out and read and do all that. Kate, I wanted to thank you again for coming on, and also thanks for promoting summer reading. It's so good to have as many ambassadors as we do, but to have you with your great story of growing up with the library in your life, but also just your great words of advocacy for libraries. You are so valuable to us all for the way that you advocate.
And I thank you back for, doing that thing every day, that sacred task of putting books in kids' hands. And when I say kids, I mean all of us, because you put wild robot in my hands.
Can I tell you something? I would be lost if I didn't have the opportunity to show someone a connection like that. Here's a book that means something to me. Can I make that connection with you? Because for me, this is, you're a story person. It's not just about the book. It's about the connection and connecting us as human beings. That's the important part.
That is it exactly. You're singing my song. And so we're so lucky to get to do this work. And we just, you know, we want to build a bigger room where more and more people get to put books in other people's hands and more people get to get books. So building that community.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Jersey Drozd joins me to talk about Boulder and Fleet, his webcomic, and A2CAF, a kids' comics convention in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And after that, Lisa Brown returns to the podcast to share The Airport Book, her newest picture book. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumor has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favorite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.